If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to Adam Deitch Quartet and their tune, .org. The Adam Deitch Quartet is a side project for one of the busiest drummers on the go. Aside from his work in Lettuce and Break Science, Deitch is always matching up with other players and, in fact, producing music. We get into some of those details during our conversation, but suffice it to say this dude is talented beyond measure. Perhaps the only thing that is bigger than his talent is his appetite to play music that inspires him. Such is certainly the case with the Adam Deitch Quartet's debut, Egyptian Secrets. Is it a hip-hop record, a jazz record, a soul record, or straight-ahead funk? The answer is yes to all of the above. We caught up with Adam a few days before Egyptian Secrets release on August 23rd, and our conversation started when I asked how the project came together.
As you know, I've been touring with Lettuce for a long time, and we play San Francisco once or twice a year, and I guess about 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, when we played the Fillmore, Fillmore West in San Francisco, we would throw an after party at the Boom Boom Room, which is a small little fun club in San Fran. And Will Blades, the organist, lives there. And we would do these like little like laid back sort of, jazz meets funk kind of vibe. And it just felt really good because Lettuce is a very physical band. It's a very physically taxing experience for a drummer. It's a 6-piece band and it's full on, So, those after parties were very, they felt really good and it was a very relaxing feeling. And there was a synergy between me and Will because, he's an organist and he's also the bass player because he's playing foot bass, with his feet and his left hand. So we had an instant connection, and then I brought in the Lettuce horn section, Eric Benny Bloom, the trumpet player, and Ryan Zoidis, my brother, who I started Lettuce with. And then it just became a thing, and it just felt really natural. And first we were playing some covers of sort of soul jazz kind of stuff, Grant Green tunes and Jimmy Smith tunes and stuff like that. And then it just developed into a thing, and I got really inspired, and I started writing as soon as I got home from that experience. I wrote about 8 tunes for that group, and I sent them around. I said, "What do you guys think of these tunes?" And they're great. Let's get in the studio, So I was very thankful that they felt that way, and we recorded the album a few years ago, and now it's finally coming out.
So when you said you went back and wrote down some tunes, are you writing Will's parts, you're writing Benny's parts, you're writing Zoidis' parts, or are you just writing you're writing
everyone's
the whole
parts.
Thing? You're writing everything.
What I do is I have Pro Tools and I have tons of instruments in the computer. So I'll play a basic organ part and a basic keyboard horn part into Pro Tools and a little drum beat and come up with a melody and an arrangement, and I'll send that to them as a demo, and they'll go, we could work with this. And then they take it and bring it to life.
I'm curious about, because you're a drummer and you're set up with Pro Tools or GarageBand or whatever, probably Pro Tools, like you said.
Yeah.
Are you doing the drums live, or are you actually using Pro Tools to make a beat? Because you're a phenomenal drummer, so that's weird to me.
Yeah, I'll record the drums to a, just to a click, kind of get the basic vibe of the groove. And then I'll just add everyone's parts to that. And, it's all in my head at first, what it's supposed to sound like. But, I'll probably just put the drums down just to have a nice groove there. And then I'll just write from there.
So you get these tunes together and you send them to the guys, and obviously you're seeing Zoidis and Benny a lot. When you guys get together to record this, is it pretty loose, or are you insisting that they stick to what you've charted out or what you've sent them in the demo?
It's pretty loose. I'm definitely not a perfectionist when it comes to that, because I'm so thankful that these guys would want to play my tunes at all. So, any way they want to shape them and kind of interpret the melody that I wrote or interpret the chords is cool with me. And they're very super cool, very respectful guys. And if they dig the tune, they're going to play it, you know, pretty close to the, you know, the demo, but they're adding, you know, their whatever 30 years of musical experience to that, you know, and bring, you know, really taking a black and white, you know, kind of stick figure of a song and putting it into a full, making it a painting, making it a real piece of art.
Right. And the vibe is really important to this because it does sound like it's live off the floor, and you didn't add any effects or any post prod. This is kind of just the four of you getting in a room and jamming, right? And rolling tape or rolling Pro Tools or whatever.
Yeah. We did it on tape, and you know, we did it old school. I explained to the engineer that I wanted it to sound like an old Blue Note record from the late '60s.
Yeah.
With the traditional reverb on the whole band, and just to kind of have that old school sort of, you know, soul jazz, you know, dusty Jimmy Smith record kind of sound, you know, and we managed to get that, and we cut the tunes in one day. We cut the first half of tune in one day, and then we got together again about a year later and cut another bunch of group of tunes, and we had Schofield come through for the second session.
Yeah, so let's talk about Schofield. You've obviously crossed paths with him over the last little bit, but still an mm-hmm. honor and a thrill probably to have you sit for him to sit in with you guys and play, right?
It's a beyond an honor. It's you know, I spent 3 years with him on the road, and we did 3 records and toured this entire globe, you know, from, you know, Japan to Indonesia, you know, to all over Europe, to Eastern Europe. And we just totally globetrotted for 3 years. And then, you know, I went my way and, you know, started getting more into Lettuce and Break Science and that stuff. But for him to say he was willing to come down and do this, it's not common for a person of his stature,
right,
to join, a band of a sideman that he hired a few, you know? So, but, you know, through all that time we spent together, he became more of like a really good friend, you know, and, you know, the whole, mystique of him being the greatest one of the top guitar players of all time, mm-hmm. kind of just like, you know, that started to fade, you know, as far as me just, you know, I got to see the person, the human being that he is. And we just became great friends, and we're just diehard musicians, and we just want to play music that we wrote and get together with great musicians. And that's both of our goals in life, you know, and create. So for him, you know, I just threw it out there. I said, let's just ask and see if he'll do it. And he said, no problem. I'll drive right down from upstate New York, from Katona to Brooklyn. And he cut 3 tunes with us. And we were just like ecstatic. Like the guy, Will and Benny and Zoetis, were just on cloud 9, you know, playing with him. And just, you know, having him play tunes that I wrote was just a 7 or 8 year dream that I had for, you know, for a long time that I didn't know was going to happen. So he just gave us a jolt of energy, and you know, he also said he's willing to do more and do more gigs and do, you know, so it's like, I'm just still blown away at the thought of it. So it's just a blessing.
Well, you aren't just a sideman, right? I mean, you're a pretty accomplished musician, but I'm curious about getting that call to work with him in the first place was probably pretty crazy too.
It definitely was. I owe it all to my friend Eric Krasno from Soul Live.
Yep.
He was performing, you know, he had done the Nesky Martin Wood thing. He was venturing into the funky jam world while doing it his own way, of course, you know. Mm-hmm. And he played with a few drummers and Krasno knew that I had just gotten off the road with Average White Band, and you know, I was doing that for a while.
Yeah.
And Kras told him about him and said, you know, we're having him sit in with Lettuce tonight, and I want you to come to dinner, and we're gonna have dinner with him. And I was like freaking out, like shaking, you know, nervous. And then we went out to eat, and he was totally cool, and he was cracking jokes and telling us Miles Davis stories and just being himself, you know. He's a really uplifting, funny, intelligent guy. So we got along right away, and then we played that night with Lettuce. He sat in, we played a couple of his old funky fusion tunes with Lettuce, and that was the beginning of our career as a band.
Right.
So, you know, he definitely kind of gave Lettuce a huge jolt of energy as well. So, yeah, then he called me the next day after that gig and said, would you like to come on the road with me? And I was like, I couldn't even believe it. I was jumping in the streets, and it was just like the greatest moment. So, you know, and then we got nominated for the Grammy and for the Uber Jam record and went to the Grammys, and it was just a hell of an experience.
You mentioned the Average White Band, and that's also a pretty crazy story in all of this. And like at 19 years old, you're playing with the Average White Band, who, you know,
I wasn't quite 19. I think I was like around 25.
Oh, really?
25, 30. Well, yeah. I definitely looked 19.
You were definitely younger compared to the rest of the guys in the band.
Oh yeah.
By a few decades,
definitely, like,
probably.
You know, 50, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But the original members were in their 60s at the time, and I was about 25. So, yeah, it was a little age gap, but we all believed in the power of funky music and soul music, and they really just schooled me on all that. We got to open for Tower of Power, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Chaka Khan, the Ohio Players, you know, and all my heroes that I grew up listening to. So that was an incredible learning experience.
In Berkeley, though, you studied jazz specifically, or did you study all kinds of drumming?
I studied everything from African drumming, Afro-Cuban, mm-hmm. you know, jazz, funk. I was playing in a hip-hop band, you know, I was playing with reggae bands. Like, you know, there was really no specific genre that I concentrated on. You know, obviously, I come from a funk background, you know, and so I kind of was looking through that lens and kind of studying everything I could, and really, you know, studying with all the students, you know, that were at Berkeley, that there were just so many amazing musicians from that era. You know, Antonio Sanchez, who plays with Pat Metheny, Grammy winner. Mm-hmm. He was there at the time. John Blackwell, who just recently passed, he was with Prince. He became, you know, he was Prince's drummer a few years later, and a lot of great musicians that were there, you know, in the mid 90s that really affected all of us and took us to the next level.
So all of this stuff goes into the melting pot, along with being a kid of the 80s and 90s hip hop. I mean, hip hop mm-hmm. plays a big part in not only this record sound, but in the Lettuce sound and probably in your drumming sound. And producing hip hop records and stuff. How much influence is the hip? Isn't the hip hop thing just sort of the soul, jazz, R&B, funk thing, but now codified into kind of one thing called hip hop? I mean, how different are those breaks from, you know, some old funk records and some old, you know, soul records?
Yeah, I mean, hip hop is you know, is part of the family, and the family is soul music, you know, and you know, it was my generation's thing, and I just felt very much a part of it growing up in New York and working with so many different rappers and DJs and producers and that sort of thing, and it kind of gave me another life, you know, besides, you know, all the live playing I was doing. I got really into producing. And so with this record, with the quartet, I kind of wanted to make a record that, you know, because part of the whole big thing about hip-hop is sampling and taking a piece from this record, a piece from that record, a piece from another record, and you put them all three. It's sort of a collage art, you know, mm-hmm. where you put a bunch of different things together. So I kind of wanted to make a record that, you know, hopefully people would sample or that I might sample, or, you know, like,
right.
you know, as opposed to, you know, putting a rapper on it, like, let's provide raw materials, like paint, like colors for people in the future to paint with. And so, you know, I appreciate, you know, live playing, but I also appreciate the art of the hip hop sample collage making, which I spent years doing. And you know, so I'm just happy to contribute to that. And hopefully, you know, a couple years down the road, I'll hear some samples of this record.
Yeah, I guess it's a lot more than just about making beats at this point. It really is about, you know, sampling and everything else that's going on. I know the kids love to make beats and trade beats online and send beats to people.
Totally. It's a huge thing. It's a huge community of people that love to do that. And, And I've just been a part of that scene for so many years, you know, while always playing. So, you know, and growing up, it was sort of a division. It was like the musicians didn't appreciate the hip hop guys, and the hip hop guys look at musicians as, you know, show offs or whatever. So it was right. Like this whole division, and I felt like my job was to kind of unite those two worlds, you know, and bring, you know, hip hop and live music together. And, you know, of course, you know, the Roots were doing it, and now you have people like Robert Glasper and, mm-hmm. and you know, doing that. So I'm just happy to be a part of that whole thing of fusing those two genres.
This record fuses all kinds of genres and all kinds of styles. And it's just the first of many. I would imagine that there are all kinds of creative ideas that came out of those sessions and since those sessions, since they were, you know, a while ago, that mm-hmm. you're thinking about. Are those things that you're going to protect for yourself, for the quartet? Are those things that you bring to Lettuce and see how they work out in a larger setting? What's the division of Adam Deitch songs now from the quartet versus Lettuce versus, you know, other projects that you're working on?
Yeah, I get really inspired by, you know, groups, like, you know, specific ensembles.
Mm-hmm.
So if I play with one group and I feel there's a synergy, I write for those guys. Like, you know, I'm a big Duke Ellington fan, and I know how Duke used to write for his band, for his players.
Right.
And he would, instead of putting first tenor, he would put Coleman Hawkins, or, you know, like, he would put, yeah. like, you know, the guys in the band, their names on the charts, because he knew how to throw a fastball down the middle for his players, for his guys, you know? And I kind of just, you know, try to adapt that style of arranging and writing, you know, for specific ensembles. So when I write for the quartet, it's I have Will in mind and what he can do, and you know, his vast knowledge of harmony and jazz and how Benny can express himself in a deeper harmonic way than Lettuce. You know, Lettuce is coming from, you know, a very much James Brown, Maceo Parker place.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing. But the quartet can venture out of that and get into some deeper harmony and maybe some more dynamics, like some quiet moments and some chill moments. It's more of a, you know, it's not really a dance band,
right.
But you can dance to it. But, you know, my goal was to have, you know, play in jazz clubs and play for people sitting down that really want to listen.
It kind of is, you know, it does feel a lot. Three, half the band, half the Lettuce band is in this band, but it does feel a lot like the Witch's Stew record in that, you know, Benny does step out and do
yeah.
some of those things. And it doesn't sound like a typical, like the Witch's Stew record doesn't sound like a typical Lettuce record in the same way that this
definitely
does.
Definitely not.
Right. But in a similar way, I think, to the way that this doesn't sound like a Lettuce record. There's more space to breathe. There's
exactly.
more lines for people.
It's easier on the body. It's easier yeah. on my body. I, you know, having to power all that. You know, there's a whole different concept to it. And Benny's a virtuoso. He's one of the greatest trumpet players alive today, in my opinion. And he's not a one trick pony. He could do right. a lot of different things. And you know, compartmentalize, like this for Lettuce is how he's going to play for Lettuce. And then
yeah.
when you give him those tunes for the quartet, he can really stretch out and show people, you know, his harmonic range, melodic range, which is, you know, it's fun for me to see him do that.
And I guess, too, Zoidus can kind of concentrate on just playing his instrument as opposed to, you know, all the effects and all the stuff that he does.
Right. Yeah, well, he still brings some effects, but not as much. But, you know, he gets to explore, you know, playing outside the key a little bit and stretching a little bit and getting out of the Maceo bag, which he does so well.
Mm-hmm.
And we love that for Lettuce, but you know, he's not just a, you know, a one-sided musician. He's
right.
got this other side of him that I just love seeing it come out and watching him explore harmonically and try some notes and, you know, and just go with it. You know, so I'm just trying to get everybody to explore, you know, their other sides of their musicality.
It's kind of interesting too that, you know, there's a lot of Jimmy Smith breaks and a lot of Grant Green breaks and
Jimmy Smith samples in hip hop, and you know, I'm thinking of Root Down by the Beastie Boys.
Absolutely. And definitely. That was the original song we played with the quartet.
Root Down. Do you have that somewhere? I'd love to hear that.
that was like the early jam sessions at the Fillmore, you know, at the room. That was always the first tune, and I was like, wow, okay, this feels great.
But it is kind of like you've gone backwards, because not backwards, you know, it's more like you've completed the circle from those dusty records, from, you know, hearing the smoke in the room when Jimmy's playing or whatever, to a very genuine and earnest kind of record that you've created here that does have like that hip hop flavor melted in with some of that old school production value. And was that what you were going for, right? I mean, that was the idea.
Absolutely, man. You know, I'm a huge Idris Muhammad fan, and he has a slew of solo records that are all kind of in between funk and jazz. And you know, he's from New Orleans, and he was raised with both jazz and funk. And also the record he did with Scofield, I think it's Groovelation or something like that. And he, you know, he really melded the worlds of funk and jazz, you know, in a beautiful organic way. So he was a major influence on this style of writing and playing, and that's why I dedicated the album to him.
So if you were going to go into a record store, not that those really exist to the same degree that they used to, but
I still do.
Yeah, where does this record get filed? Does this record get filed in the jazz section? Does it get filed in the funk section, in the world music section, in the hip-hop section? Like, where does this record get filed?
I would be super honored to be, you know, next to, you know, in the same section as Idris and Jimmy McGriff and, you know, all those guys that I grew up loving, and, you know, checking A Tribe Called Quest records for what samples they used. And I would always see these, like, you know, really cool, obscure jazz records, and I would go buy them.
Yeah.
So I would love to be in that section for this record, you know?
Yeah. Cool. Well, this was awesome. I you know what? Like, we just got the record, and it's been spinning here in the house for a while, for the last couple of days, and it's dope. I mean, I got to tell you, it's a really good record. So, congratulations.
Thank you so much, man.
Congratulations on doing that. What are you touring this record? Is the plan to do a short tour around this record, or?
Yeah, we're going to do a short tour. We're trying to fit in dates as often as possible between Break Science and Lettuce, which is it's not the easiest thing for me, but it's just something I got to do. You know, it's something I'm very excited about, and it satisfies a part of my musical spirit, you know, that I need to get out. So, we're going to try to put a bunch of dates. I told them the cities I want to be in, and I told, you know, my agents are totally down. They're just trying to find spaces in my schedule to do it.
Right. Well, this is like a vacation, right? You don't have to work as hard on this. When you're drumming for this band, you don't have to work as hard as when you are for Break Science or Lettuce.
Right. It's a little easier, and it's a super freeing feeling because you know, and we're also, it's a super high level of listening.
Right.
It's more of like a listening thing than it is like a physical, like, you know, thing where like Lettuce or Break Science. So even though I'm not working my, you know, my limbs, but I'm still working my mind, a lot on this thing. So, but it's just a great, you know, it's a great break from all those other groups that I have. And I return to Lettuce as a new, you know, I kind of have a new inspiration and a new vibe, and I kind of bring some of that to Lettuce.
Yeah. You certainly hear that on the new Lettuce record. I mean, I think the latest Lettuce record is probably one of your best. I mean, it's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Like this. And I told Zoidus that we had him on, and I said, I just thought it's such a good record. Thanks a lot for doing this,
man.
Dude. We're going to point people to the
website.
The record comes out Friday, August 23rd. Couldn't be happier for you, dude. So be well and keep up the awesome stuff.
Definitely, man. That was a lot of fun, man. You really nailed that one, man. Appreciate it.
Great, dude. Awesome record. One that I think you'll thoroughly enjoy. For more information on the Adam Deitch Quartet and all things Adam Deitch, visit DeitchBeatsDon'tQuit.com or fanlink.to/Egyptian Secrets. Before we leave you, have a listen to the title track of the Adam Deitch Quartet debut. Here is Egyptian Secrets.
We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.